He said, Father, Father, he went to pray, and the weight was so heavy, he fell as he went to pray. And he lifted his voice, probably lifted his head in a strained place of stress that none of us could ever even begin to imagine. And he began to pray, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The cup. Do you know what the cup was? Say it again. The Bible in the Old Testament talks about the cup of God's wrath being full. And it will. It's a cup of wrath and indignation. And the day is coming when God is going to pour it out on all flesh. Justice is coming. Listen, I'm telling you, justice is coming. We look around and sometimes we feel it's just not fair. I want you to know there's one who's watching and justice is coming. But it's coming for everybody. Except this cup that Jesus was praying about represented the wrath of Almighty God to be poured out upon the sin of mankind. Now you stack your sins up. And you realize that your sins are being stored up and the wrath of God against your sins being stored up. And let the weight of that hit you. It's important for us who are believers to let the weight of that hit us. If we could put up on this screen, and the guys back here are pretty technological, I bet they could figure out how to do it. If they could wire your head and down into your memory and put up on this screen the sins of your life, thoughts, words, actions, and we're all going to watch a movie, how would you feel about that? Especially the secret ones. Okay? It's all being stored up. And the wrath of God, absolutely and 100% necessary, because God is a just God and justice must be done. And Jesus is saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus, what cup? The wrath of God stored up for the sins of mankind. And he prayed it 3 times. And he sweat drops of blood. The pressure was so intense. And finally, the Father made it very clear to him. No. Not only is my cup going to be poured out on you, but you're going to drain it. You're going to drain the cup of my wrath. Jesus on the cross next day. And the nails are in his hands and the nails are in his feet. And it gets dark in the middle of the day because the fury of God is being poured out somewhere. It's being poured out on his son. And the son takes the cup. And he drains it. Drains it. And at that moment, for everyone who repents and believes, at that moment, all of the gunk, all of the yuck, all of the shame, all of the shameful thoughts, all of the goriest of the gore is ripped off, and it is thrown onto the back of the Son of God. And God the Father smashes the Son. And it says it pleased the Father to smash his son for our sake. All of it. All my sins. Nothing was left back here. This is the message that we're going forth with when we go to bring the gospel of the good news and the gospel of peace and the gospel of hope and the gospel of mercy to people. God help us that we don't become callous and indifferent to the glory of what happened at the cross. You ever sing the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross"? May God give us grace to survey the wondrous cross. But that wasn't all that happened. At that moment, for those who would believe and trust and repent, I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ did not only die for you, He lived for you. And when He lived for you, He lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life. He lived in perfect obedience to the Father. He never did anything that the Father didn't say to do. Perfect obedience. And God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of the glorious splendor of His perfections were put on the one who would come to believe in Jesus Christ, so that when the Father looks upon Chris Peeler today, this flaw-filled, still stumbling in sin, still trying to get his act together, when the Father looks upon me, He sees this. Because the righteousness of His Son was imputed to me. All my sin was put on the back of Jesus, and all of His righteousness was put on me. That's what took place at the cross. That's the message we go forth with when we go to preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, it is the only necessary message. It is the only needful message that there is in the world today. Amen. Thanks, guys. It is the great exchange. And I want you to consider Vicki Beeching. Anybody ever hear of Vicki Beeching? She has this song called "The Wonder of the Cross." And we're going to play just a little bit. We don't have time to do the whole thing. But if you could put the words up here, and we could just look at these words for a minute. Why am I doing this? Because I'm talking about the nature of the seed. We've talked about the seed sower, right? But the nature of the seed is the glorious message you and I have of the cross. And my appeal to you is this. My friend, are you excited about the cross of Jesus Christ? You don't have to answer. That's my appeal. Are you excited about this message that we have? It's the message that sets people free from sin. Could you put it up there, please? Okay. Thank you. There we go. Sin and death have been destroyed. Chris Peeler is not going to face death. When I die, I'm going to live immediately. Death will be my favorite, most incredible day of my life because instantly I will be with the Lord. Why? Because of that. Because of the seed of the gospel that was sown into my heart years ago. And that seed had power because it came into the soil of my heart and it came alive because I was born again. I was born anew. And this is the power of God. The nature of the soil is that it says in this verse that the man does not know how that seed sprouts and grows. The earth yields crops by itself. By itself means automatically. Automatically, when God prepares that soil and He uses us to prepare the soil, as we bring the gospel to people, God causes that seed to explode with life and people are born again. So here's the deal. There are two job descriptions in sharing our faith, ours and God's. I cannot do God's. Can you? And God will not do mine. Let me repeat that. I cannot do God's and God will not do mine. If you keep those job descriptions straight in terms of your ministry of sowing the seed of the gospel, you'll sleep well. Just imagine how many of you have gardens of some kind. How many of you have ever planted anything? Okay. Imagine you go plant that seed and you water it and you're excited and you get up the next morning and you start fretting and you go put your hand in there, pull it out and massage it a little bit, blow on it a little bit and stick it back in there and cover it up and go, and then you wake up the next day and you're nervous again, you pull it out and you do some stuff to it and you pour water on it and you stick it. What's going to happen if you keep doing that? Yeah, it's not going to make it. And this is the point. Paul said, I planted, you know it? Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the growth. We must sow seeds. This is God's command. It's good to learn to sow them as well as we can. That's why we're doing evangelism training in Shore Christian Fellowship. That's why we've done it. That's why we're going to continue to do it. I'll be back. And we're going to continue to have ongoing training. We've got to learn to do it as well as we can. But even if we became the best, the very best, the best gospel preachers in the world, we would have no power to convert a soul. None. Only God can convert a soul. And I am so glad this frees me up. You know why it frees me up? When I go out And I'm going down the street, or I'm like we were down, Linda and I were in Ocean City not that long ago, and we played putt-putt, and these three young men came walking up, and they said, hi. Well, that's all I needed. And I said, hey, guys. I said, have you gotten your $1 million bill yet? And I gave all three of them $1 million bills, and they stood there, hey, that's pretty cool. And I said, read the question on the back. 20 minutes. God gave us 20 minutes with this 19, 18, 17-year-old young, 20 minutes to stand there and preach the law to them, to help them to see how they were sinners, then to preach the gospel to them, give them my testimony. And Linda and I had the privilege, and then we encouraged them, go pray, go consider this and get right with God. And they left, and instead of worrying and pulling what little hair I have left out, because we didn't get them to pray a prayer, I was ecstatic with joy. Why? I scattered seed. That's my job. I'm supposed to go scatter seed. Now, that doesn't mean we're indifferent or we were cold to them and said, okay, there's the gospel. Now, I could care less about you guys. I've scattered the seed. Bah. No. There was a pleading in our voice. There was a yearning because you know why? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There's a begging in our heart for people to come to God. We can beg them, we just can't do it. And that we exchanged phone numbers. Chris, the oldest guy, texted me that night. Woo, that was icing on the cake. He said, hey, Chris, this is Chris. thank you for talking with us. I'm going to pray tonight. Okay, now I don't know what he was going to pray tonight. I don't know what God, but I do know when we talked to that young man, right, Linda? He looked in our eyes and this guy was impacted. And he said, it must be really something to know that all your sins are forgiven. I said, yes, it is. And Linda told him about our family. And he said, are they all following after God? Yes. And he was impacted. We had this great privilege to go sow seeds, and so do you. And so do I. Not only do we have the privilege, we have the command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It is the command of God. So years ago, as I'm pastoring my church in Arnold, this lady, this goofy lady, brings her husband to church one Sunday. And she hadn't been saved that long herself. And he comes and he's standing back there, and I go back to him and I started talking to him about whether he knew he was right with God, whether he knew he was saved. And that man, he didn't know why he had come, and people had sown the gospel in his life before, but that man called out to Jesus to save him. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, that was me.
That was him.
Yeah.
That was Roy.
Yeah.
Now, God allowed me the privilege. There are other people who had sown seed in his life, for family, but I had the privilege of sowing seed that day, and God caused that seed to bring forth automatically of itself. And now Roy Curry preaches the gospel to people all the time. He can't stop talking about the Lord. And he's scattering seed all the time. And then you go to sleep, right? And it's up to God to convert the people. And so there I was at one of the assisted living homes we do, Paradise. It's fun Thursdays to go to Paradise. It's a blast.